This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Shima Kermani, is a dancer who lives in Pakistan, where public performances by women are virtually banned. She performs classical Indian dance, which derives from Hindu traditions. She's one of the few classical dancers left in the country. Describing a rare public performance she gave in Karachi, New York Times reporter Seth Meidens wrote, "Vigorous, electrifying, sensual, a celebration of the body and its passions, her dance was everything conservative Muslim Pakistan now stands against." Earlier this week, she went to a studio in Karachi to talk with us about her dance and what it means to her artistically and politically. I asked her to explain the laws regulating dance in Pakistan.
Well, it was in 1983 that dancing on stage and television and all the state-owned media was banned by General ضیاء-الحق, dancing, classical dancing by women. And there was a law which said that anybody who wants to make a public performance of any kind needs to get an NOC. Now, this applied for not just dance, but for any kind of a public performance, whether it's theater or music concert or anything. So one actually needs an NOC, which is a no objection certificate. And this certificate is given by the state authorities. If it's a play, the script has to be censored. And then it goes to the commissioner's office. So that law still exists. Anytime I want a public performance of my dance or theater or any kind of a public performance, I still need to get that NOC. So the law has not changed, actually.
So do you apply for these no objection certificates when you dance?
Yes, sometimes one has to apply because in certain cases, the auditoriums, the halls, they need it as well. I mean, they will not give you a space unless you have that no objection certificate. But if it's a private performance, which means that you don't advertise it and you don't sell a ticket, then you don't need to apply for it.
Is that what you mostly do, private performances?
And so, yes. So generally, largely, dance performances in Karachi or in Pakistan, even today, would be private performances. And if they are not private, like I often do a lot of public performances, but then they are held at places like Alliance Française or, you know, the Goethe Institute. These places have diplomatic immunity, so they don't need an NOC.
Where does classical dancing by women fit in terms of how objectionable the government finds it?
Well, I think the Pakistani state has a little bit of a problem with classical dancing because they associate it with the Indian traditions, with the subcontinental traditions. And the problem is to sort of, you know, cut ourselves off from these so-called Indian traditions and evolve something which the state would like to call totally Pakistani, which doesn't happen generally. You don't evolve a culture just like that. It evolves over a period of time, and it evolves, comes through with traditions and customs, etc. So that has been a problem.
Is the classical dance seen as being more Hindu than Muslim?
I think so. Yes, that is one of the issues as well.
What about the dance itself? Is the dance meant to be sensual?
The dance is sensual. It is erotic at times as well. And at the same time, it can be very, it is very meaningful. It's very bold. It can say a lot. We see dancers in the subcontinent were actually storytelling. They were relating the histories of the people, the myths, because there was no written tradition of history. It was an oral tradition. So people used whatever at their means, and dance and, you know, movement and eye movement and hand gestures, which are very developed in our dance form. These were things that were used to pass down histories, to pass down legends. And so there's a lot. It's quite an intellectual thing.
Are you ever harassed or threatened in Pakistan because of your dancing?
Well, I have been often, but then a lot of women activists in this country are harassed who take a stand on issues like women's rights and things like that. So yes, I have been harassed. I have been threatened.
By individuals or by the government?
No, the government would not give me that much lift. I mean, they just would like to ignore me. Individuals are more, I would more say, fundamentalist parties.
Mm-hmm. And how do you react? What has the nature of the harassment been?
Well, threats, phone calls, letters, you know, threats to spaces where one is performing, halls, auditoriums, you know, those kind of things. But I do feel that a lot of it is just threats, which, well, up till now, they haven't really followed it up, and one hopes that they won't, because it goes against them in a sense that, you know, because the general public, the general people are not going to sort of support something like this, where if somebody is performing and some fundamentalist group comes and blows it up or something. So it will go against them, but you never know. I mean, you know, there are fanatics all over the place.
Do you see your dance as a political statement? Like, when you dance, do you think of yourself as making a political statement as well as performing?
Yes, in a sense I do. I mean, I myself am a political person, and I feel that whatever I do is a political statement, whether I'm dancing or I'm acting, because my whole ideology is brought into whatever I'm creating. And in the context here where, you know, it is almost looked on as a subversive act, whether I want it or not, it becomes political.
Now, your husband works in theater too. Are the restrictions on men any different than the restrictions on women in performance?
Well, you see, the restrictions on theater, on the restrictions on performance. I mean, in the whole city of Karachi, there's hardly a performance hall where one can perform. So it affects men as well as women. But the ban was actually for women dancing on stage, not for men dancing on stage. That is interesting.
Did you grow up in a religious Muslim family?
Yes.
And did your parents object to you dancing when you started to dance? Did they say anything wrong with it?
No, actually, my family was it is a very religious Muslim family, but they are a very liberal religious Muslim family. Mm-hmm. They, in fact, brought me to music and dance. They taught. I mean, as a child, I was learning dance and music and be involved in theater and things like that. So it's not that every Muslim family is conservative in the cultural sense. In fact, I think that generation of people they felt that art and culture is very important for education of the children. So, I mean, I've learned Western classical music for 8 to 10 years, and I started dancing when I was something like 9 years old. My mother sent me to learn dancing, and so it's not that my family has ever been against it at all.
Now, you've studied with some of the masters of classical Indian dance. Where did you go to study with them? Were they in Pakistan and India and other parts of the world?
Yes, I started learning dance in Karachi. For many years as a student, I was going to a place called the Rhythmic Arts Center, which was a kind of a center teaching dance and yoga and theater and a lot of classical music. And a lot of people used to come at that place. And I'm talking about the from 65 to the end 60s, actually. And then I went away to England to study art. I studied fine arts. I went to art college and I came back. Then I decided I wanted to take up dance much more seriously, and I went to India because that, you see, I mean, even my teachers here felt that if one wants to take up classical dancing seriously, one needs to go and learn it in India. So I went to India to learn classical dancing.
How did you discover the issue of women's rights?
Well, I think started off from a very personal basis. My brother is a year older than me, and I always felt that I have to do, that much better than him to get what I want. And so I was always competing with him as a child. Like, I mean, I felt that if my parents are going to send him to university, I have to do 5 times better than him before they would think of sending me to university. So it started, I started feeling these things at a very young age, growing up as a sister in a house where the brother was just a year older than me.
It seems ironic to me that Pakistan has restricted many women's rights, but at the same time, it had a woman prime minister, Benazir Bhutto.
Yes, but Benazir Bhutto was... one thing that she didn't do was take away these anti-women laws, because she just also wanted to stay in power. I mean, so actually, at one point, she just became what all the other leaders become power hungry, basically, and so forgot what she should have done, because she had promised the women's groups here that she would take away all these anti-women laws, but she didn't. So yes, it is ironic, but she came into power more because of her, I would say, her father, the name that she carried, not because she was a woman.
Do you think it might ever get to the point in Pakistan where restrictions become so severe on what women can do or what dancers can do that you would feel forced to leave?
Well, I think in the last 25 years, there have been times when one has thought that one can't continue and one must leave. But I've always felt that why should I leave? This is where I belong, this is where I'm born, and this is where I will die fighting it. Because I feel what I'm doing is right, and I will continue doing it till... And I really feel that nobody can actually stop me.
My guest is Shima Kermani, a traditional dancer who lives in Pakistan. We'll talk more after our break. This is Fresh Air. Joining us from Karachi, Pakistan, is Shima Kermani. She's a classical dancer, but in Pakistan, public performances by women are virtually banned. Have you been worried about the possibility of a nuclear war between India and Pakistan?
Yes, I have been involved in peace movements here, and I really feel that neither of these two countries should have ever got into nuclear armament and made the bomb or anything of the kind, and I think that no country at this point in the world, in this time of history, should be doing this, especially these countries where there's still so much to be done for the people, where there's still so much illiteracy, where health problems, unemployment, issues like that. And I mean, we're totally against this kind of a nuclear build-up. And yes, we have been worried about, because there is no way that they can control things once they let something start rolling. So, yes, I think we are very worried about this nuclear issue.
A lot of the foreign consulates, a lot of their people have left Pakistan because of the threat of nuclear war. Has that affected? Has that affected you directly?
It's affected me directly in the sense that I have a lot of foreign students learning dance from me, so they've all left the country. That is how it's affected me. And also one's performances and travel abroad. I mean, all the consulates have closed. I had a performance in UK and I can't go because I can't get a visa. In that sense, yes.
Right. I want to ask you about music. We were talking about dance, but I imagine that music is very important to you as a dancer.
Yeah.
Do you have any problems listening to the music that you want to listen to? Problems in either playing it or even in finding it? Can you buy the recordings that you want in stores?
Well, actually, I would like to dance to live music. So I am always looking for musicians who can play the kind of music I want. And to buy recorded music is not a problem, or I can always get it from India or across the border. But what is a problem is finding musicians who would, sing or play music with you for a live performance. And that is what is much more exciting in dancing, to have a live performance. The musicians are dying. And there's as for dance, even music, it's not institutionalized, it's not looked after, so there's no, the old ustads did not teach their children. So it's a dying art form. I mean, these things, unfortunately, in Pakistan are all dying, I feel, dance and music and theater. And it's a big tragedy.
Do you think music in general is a dying art form or classical music?
Well, classical music, yes. Not music in general. There's a lot of pop music going on, but classical music is dying.
You're right across the border from India, which has a huge movie industry that's been nicknamed Bollywood. I wonder if those movies make it to Karachi, if you get to see a lot of those Indian musicals.
Oh, yes. There's a huge video market of Indian films, so one can just go and rent a video and see it at home. They're not in the cinema halls, of course, but you can see the latest Indian movie.
They're not in the movie theaters because...
Oh, because Indian films are banned in Pakistan.
Oh.
There's no trade between India and Pakistan, and right now there's nothing between India and Pakistan, not even travel or movement of any kind, as you know.
But you said you can get recordings that you want from India.
Well, till recently. I mean, I used to travel. I have been going to India almost every year to refresh myself, go back to my guru, go back to my teachers. So, but it's actually right now where things, there's so much tension between India and Pakistan. There's no movement, there's no traveling, there's nothing between India and Pakistan at the moment. In fact, there's total fear of war breaking out any minute. So right now this is the case, but we just hope that it's not going to last very long. But as far as dance is concerned, I'll go back to something that I think is an important thing that I'd like to add, and that is this whole issue of why I feel dance is important in our society, and not only as education for children, not only as something that will give them confidence and dignity and pride in their bodies, but specifically for women, I feel it's very important. It's important because, you see, here you have this whole culture of young girls, when they're growing up, they're told that they must hide their bodies, that when they're sort of, like developing breasts, you must not show your breasts and things like that. And so you grow up with a feeling of inferiority about your body. And I think dance combats that. It sort of gives you a feeling of dignity about your body, a feeling of confidence and pride in your body. You know, the minute you stand up straight, with your spine straight and strength at the back of your spine, you feel strong. And I feel that's why it's important for women and for women's movement to understand that dancing is so important.
You know how you're saying that dance, if you're standing up straight on stage and using your body in a strong way, it's very empowering. Yeah. I'm wondering if you think that women who are forced to cover up and feel a little shameful about their bodies, if you notice that women's body postures are less straight and more kind of embarrassed looking, hunched up. Exactly.
Oh yes, that is true. I mean, that's what I was saying, that young girls are constantly feeling that they must hunch their shoulders in and have their chest going in rather than out, so that their breasts don't show. And so there's a whole feeling of inferiority and a complex about the body that you must not show it, you must hide it. And I think that is what the whole issue is about, that a dancer stands up on stage and says, well, I'm proud of my body, and I think it's a beautiful body, and I can show it to you, I don't have to hide it, and that's what the fundamentalists are scared of, because it takes away their power.
Can I ask you where you're dancing next, or is that something that you're better off not sharing?
No. I have no problems about sharing. It's just too hot in Karachi at the moment. And so I'll wait for the summer to be over.
I see. Not a lot of air conditioning inside?
No, in spite of that, it's very hot. And there's a lot of power breakdowns. And the city is really sizzling at the moment.
Right.
And summer is a bad time to be dancing. So for these 1 or 2 months, actually, there's hardly any dancing going on. In fact, I've even closed my classes because there's so much power failure, and one can't exercise in the heat.
Just one other question. The bombing of the American consulate in Pakistan made big news here in the United States. What impact did that have, in your community?
This incident has been very unfortunate, and I think everybody is very upset about it. And everybody is very upset. There were 5 young women who died in this bombing, and it's unfortunate that nobody is ever caught. People get away with this, and it's going to make it more and more difficult for us to do anything. I think, and especially for artists, you see, a lot of our work depends on how things are politically in the country. You can't have performances if there's this kind of thing going on. You can't even think of performing when this kind of thing is going on. People are dying around you. You can't, don't want to be dancing around. So it's really sad.
Well, I thank you very much for talking with us.
All right. Okay, Terry. Goodbye.
Shima Kermani is a classical dancer in Pakistan. She spoke to us from Karachi. This is Fresh Air.